welcome to another edition of the Weekly Rush on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio with myself, Pete Tribuco, and of course, Sharon Mond.
Good morning.
And our engineer extraordinaire, Dan Fritz. You know, we're going to be talking about this week. Well, I know we're in Philly, but we all go to Atlantic City. We all go down to the Jersey Shore. And our next guest actually has done incredible things with Asbury Park and in Atlantic City everything along those lines.
Yeah.
And I want you to do the introduction this time, since you know this gentleman really well, and he's done so much for the Jersey Shore and the state of New Jersey. And I'm sure he's probably got his hands going into Philadelphia, too, eventually down the road. So
this is Pat Fasano, who's a great friend. He's a great guy, an entrepreneur, a very successful visionary. I'm proud to say that as someone who had grown up in New Jersey, the running joke for so many years had been, you know, Asbury Park is coming back. Asbury Park is coming back. And I just remember thinking, you know, it's by the ocean. It's a beautiful place. We all love the Jersey Shore.
Run away.
But, you know, this is someone, an individual who actually had the wherewithal to go out there and actually rebuild Asbury Park. And he's been given much of the credit for its rebirth. So now what I love about Pat is that, you know, he's very brave. It's not easy to get things done in New Jersey. Politically, it's tough, business-wise. But he's also replicating that same model and now trying to do that in the southern part of New Jersey. And I just want to talk with him. He's just so well-regarded, so well-respected. We're so lucky to have him on the show today. And I want to hear about, you know, some of the things that he's doing. And I think that it's very important stuff. And especially during the pandemic now, as we are coming out of it, and we want to attract more business to the state, and people are coming here from all of the cities. It's more important than ever to know a little bit about what's been developing. So, Pat, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm sitting here in Asbury Park. In fact, from my home, I can see the Stone Pony Summer Stage.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like next door to Porta. So I'm kind of sandwiched between the Stone Pony and iStar's new building, the Ocean. So my real estate's gone up in value since I bought this home for $275,000.
Oh, my gosh. I've been there, and you have a beautiful place. And not only that, but you could see the sunrise on one side. You can see the sunset. You're right by the ocean. I mean, it's a perfect place.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you're brave. You get great real estate prices. So that was my Asbury. I was an early pioneer. I mean, I'm certainly not the biggest developer, but I think I'm the guy that lit the first match, and you know, somebody has to be first.
Oh, it sounds like you're pretty humble there. From when I look, and you know, and of course we do research on all our guests here. I mean, you're the guy that turned around Asbury Park. I mean, pretty much. I mean, you're one
There's
of the
no
main guys
task.
for yeah. downtown Asbury Park. And I remember Asbury Park prior to all that, you know, where you literally had a, you know, you're born to run. You really had to run, you know, like Bruce Springsteen says, you know, if you're running out of the Stone Pony, get in your car real quick.
Yeah.
There was really no downtown like there is now with stuff going on there. And of course, Atlantic City of multiple restaurants, the Orange Loop, you know, the major investor in all that type of stuff. And it really, you know, Atlantic City is coming around, and it's a long way for Atlantic City. But anyone who has not visited Asbury Park, I mean, there are so many restaurants, clubs, shows, distributors, beer distributors, wine distributors. I mean, it's just everything is there. I actually did a few shows in Asbury Park, you know, as an actor. So I know that area extremely well, and the clubs and everything. So you have done, I know you're modest, but you've done a great job. So kudos to you.
Well, you know, again, I was first in. We tried to save a lot of the iconic buildings. We purchased the Fast Lane, the Baronet Theater, Asbury Lane, the Wonder Bar. Mm-hmm. But all these venues, when we purchased them, were just closed, shut down buildings, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually, we ended up selling those products at the beachfront to the waterfront developer. You know, the way it was set up in Asbury is the waterfront, the WRA, was given to a single developer. I'm not really a fan of that methodology, but they gave it to a master developer, and then the master developer had the right to you know, eminent domain and whatever. So the early days of Asbury was a bit of a struggle to get things going, and we were working against different forces. But just to give you an idea, like when I arrived in the first property I bought in Asbury Park, which was actually after I started in Ocean Grove, which was early 90s, I paid $1 a square foot
for
a building down.
Wow.
Yeah, so my first purchase was at an FDIC auction. FDIC was auctioning off the assets of Toms River Savings Bank. I was the only bidder at $5,000 for a downtown commercial building in Asbury Park.
How fortunate.
That's how dark it was.
Incredible.
Properties that we bought along Cookman Avenue, everything was boarded up. Where the complex is, Bond Street Bar, the complex, Lotteria, one of our restaurant products. That's about a 20,000 square foot building. And, you know, we went over our dollar a square foot budget. I think we paid about $3 a square foot. It was $70,000 to buy that building back then.
Wow.
So nobody believed in it. Nobody wanted it. It was a fantasy.
That's right.
Everyone told me I was wrong. And, and you know, and I kind of related it to the boy who cried wolf story. I'm like, well, there really is a wolf. And the wolf was the Atlantic Ocean, of course. So we had a boardwalk. We had an ocean. And I couldn't believe that Asbury Park could be held down that much longer. So, you know, somebody had to put the first dumpster on the street, so it was me. Ultimately, I benefited from that because I got in at very, very low price point. And now I'm repeating that same thing in Atlantic City. The only problem is I'm telling too many people, so I'm going to bring the competition in. But that's okay. It's a much bigger city. I want I want more participation, and there's a lot of great guys coming into Atlantic City that we could talk about.
Well, that's true, actually. In fact, I mean, you know, for people in Philadelphia, I'm sure they've gone to Asbury Park. I'm sure they have gone to the Stone Pony and in hopes of that Bruce would be there. And, of course,
by the way,
the Wonder Bar is a great place.
I've been there
many, many times. Yeah. I tell you, what you've done there is absolutely amazing. But getting back to...
and they like animals, too. You can bring your pets there. A lot of people don't know that.
That's true.
A very pet-friendly place.
That's true. I can bring my
dog's been there.
Yep, Debbie Melissa does the doggy yappy hour. It's
yes.
Very popular.
Love
Debbie's
the yappy
been
hour.
Down many times in Atlantic City and is encouraging me to do a yappy hour in my container court outside Bouray.
You got to do
it. Certainly going to look into that this summer.
So a question about Atlantic City. Now, obviously, everyone in Philly is going down the Jersey Shore. We're going to Wildwood. We're going to, you know, Cape May. I mean, and we're going, you know, to Atlantic City and to Toms River and so on for the Jersey Shore and everything. And, you know, and the others have done quite well. Atlantic City, going back to the days when the horses used to jump, you know, from the pier, the steel pier, which I remember. I'm old enough to remember that being done. And it's gone pretty much downhill to the point where, you know, we had all these issues, Trump and everything that's been going on with that area. And now all of a sudden, it's starting to come back again, slowly, but much slower than of course, you know, Asbury Park. But, you know, we need somebody to come in there and actually give it its old glory. I mean, it's still a beautiful place. There are many casinos there, many restaurants there. Thanks to you, there's a lot of properties that are being fixed up. And of course, it was very dangerous. Even with the jetties, it was a little dangerous, you know, going from casino to casino. And I'm glad to see that you're doing that. What is the plan? What is the plan to get it to that level that it was back in the early 70s, you know, when everybody would be going there? And that was even before the casinos came. People would just, you know, it was destination location, Atlantic City. And even today, it still is. But what's the plan? What's your plan to get it to that next level?
Well, I mean, you know, it's easier for me to see probably because I'm coming in with fresh eyes. You know, a lot of times when you go into areas that people have been a long time and they kind of see just one thing and they can't see what it can be. I always look at what can be and what was. So I like to look at history. History tells us what we should be doing in the future, because why was Atlantic City there? And it was an outdoor playground, and that's what we're trying to do again. Mm-hmm. So people went to Atlantic City. It was extremely popular in the early days when Asbury Park had its heyday, and it was a community for the people from Philadelphia to go and be rejuvenated by the Jersey Shore. And it was the first boardwalk, I believe, in America. They used to put the boards down and take them back up again. I mean, the saltwater taffy, everything originated from Monopoly, the Monopoly board, everything originated, all the ideas originated from Atlantic City. It was a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And now let's just say that it's a sleeping giant. and it's coiled for a rebound. And when that rebound comes,
like that.
It's going to come like a tidal wave. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. I can feel the energy in AC, and that's what it is. It's energy. And even the name itself is electrifying. AC. I mean, this is the place that you're going to want to be. This is the place that you're going to want to invest, and this is where you're going to want to spend your summers, because this place has the most incredible potential to make the strongest comeback, way surpassing what Asbury Park could ever do.
So you're having the same vision with Atlantic City. So you believe that Atlantic City will even come back more powerfully than Asbury Park did?
Well, I mean, look, Asbury Park was Bradley's vision. You know, he was a visionary. James Bradley was a visionary. The way he designed the streets, he emulated Ocean Grove. Ocean Grove was, he named it after Dr. Francis Asbury, who Asbury Park was named after, one of the Methodist pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley came in and purchased Asbury Park and designed it as a visionary with the angled streets and the big lots. It was kind of like Ocean Grove on steroids. Instead of a 30 by 60 lot, he did the 50 by 150 lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the same, cut streets and the vision and the pavilions on the boardwalk. And then, you have to respect that moving forward when you do your development and what you got to keep the Wonder Bar and Asbury Lanes and your Stone Pony, these iconic names.
Right.
And Atlantic City kind of, got a little bit lost. They got a little drunk with the casinos. Land was $1,000 a foot. The casinos were buying everything. The casinos were the greatest thing ever until they weren't.
Right.
And now we have to repair that damage because, on the casinos, they brought a lot of money and commerce to Atlantic City. They bring a lot of tourism to Atlantic City, and that's good, and we need that. But that cannot be the only thing that we focus on, because what happened was we forgot everything in between the casinos, and it became dangerous because of that. You were told, just get on the jitney and get off at the next casino. Don't walk the blocks. Don't walk the board. It's dangerous. Listen, this isn't true at all. I'm walking those streets every day. I don't find any danger. I don't see that. I see something different. I see nothing but potential. And that's what we're doing now. So we're putting our money where our mouth is. And the government has made it very easy for us to do that because it's created what's called an opportunity zone. And that's one of the reasons I went to Atlantic City, because of the opportunity zone.
Well, it's great because Atlantic City, when you had Asbury Park, basically, it's not nearly as popular worldwide as AC, Atlantic City. Everybody knows Atlantic City.
Because of the casinos from back in the heyday.
Not just the casinos, but before them. We used to go, like I said, the Steel Pier, there was no casinos there, but that was the place to go for saltwater taffy, to get the free beaches, which basically are still available there. So you're starting out with something with a name. I mean, people know it. Now it's just a matter of having the public trust the fact that it's safe to walk the streets and basically go ahead and do stuff like that. And what you've done at Asbury Park is made it so, I mean, there's so many restaurants, so many people out, even with COVID, it's just a great place to be, to hang out. And Atlantic City is the same. I think you're going to succeed real well. You've made a great start as it is. I know you've got properties already.
I like the fact that he's rebranding Atlantic City. Initially Atlantic City was known, well before that, the casinos, they were known for wellness, right? With the ocean and everything else, as
sure.
To your point. But then with the casinos, they were known nationwide because that was really one of the only places to go aside from Vegas. And now that all of the states have the casinos, it really needs some type of another type of identity. And what I like about Pat's whole vision is that, bringing in the outdoor space now with COVID, it goes right along those marketing lines. We need to be outdoors more healthy, and just bringing back the healthful aspect of it is really going to turn it around. I mean, property values, as I saw it, have already gone up 25% in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
So it's on its way.
Even more than, actually, so I'm boots on the ground. I see what's happening. When I first bought my home in Lower Chelsea, which is on the border of Ventnor, there was a number of homes that we could have chosen from between, $200,000 to $300,000. Now, like, the entry level is $500,000.
Mm. So
things are really moving in Lower Chelsea. And why wouldn't they? Because Ventnor and Margate, Long Park, those prices have already escalated. So the next stop down the line is Atlantic City. So, you know, in Asbury Park, I'm just a small guy doing small things, but making a lot of noise. If iStar Financial and Sacman and other people didn't come in, I wouldn't have been successful. So I can't, I can't nearly make a dent in Atlantic City, but I'm surrounded by such wonderful people that are sharing the same vision. And, you know, I want to give some of them credit and mention that they're doing. One of your home Philadelphia developers, Bart Blatstein, mm-hmm. bought the Showboat in a deal with Stockton University. Originally, Stockton was going to take the Showboat, and then there was some deed restriction, and Bart ended up buying it from Stockton, and that brought in DevCo. So the names that, you know, are on my radar and reasons for me to feel secure about Atlantic City, you got Chris Palladino and Joe Gingoli, which is AC DevCo, formerly New Brunswick Development Corporation. Joe Gingoli, one of the largest construction companies that's a partner with the Seminole Indians and the Hard Rock, doing a fantastic job turning the Taj Mahal into an incredible venue, the Hard Rock.
Well, we'll talk about that. We have to go to break right now, Pat, but we're going to definitely talk more about that. What you're doing there.
Yeah,
so there's so much more we want to talk about. So we'll be back with the Weekly Rush and Pat Fasano right after this.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Weekly Rush with Pete and Sharon. And we're just with an amazing man here. I mean, he's so humble. I tell you, we had another guest last week before. I thought he was pretty humble. I tell you, this gentleman here, real estate developer, Pat Fasano, he's a nice Goomba, you know, friend of mine. I hope you're Italian after me saying that. But
hey, Goomba.
But anyway, Pat Fasano is with us. He has done an amazing job with Asbury Park, taking it from what it was to what it is now. And for those of us that live in Philadelphia or in the surrounding areas, we all go to Atlantic City. We all go to different places. You know, Wildwood, of course, is one of the biggest places to go to, and Cape May and so on. You've got to check out Asbury Park and what people like Pat have done to that downtown area. It's just amazing, amazing. And now Pat has set his sights on Atlantic City, and we all love and know Atlantic City, and it's gone through some troubled times, but right now it's on the upswing. There are a lot of properties that Pat and everybody else are getting involved in order to make that the go-to place again, like it was, in the 80s, in the early 80s, when the casinos first hit. So it's good to have you on the show, Pat. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I love promoting Atlantic City. I think it's really the single greatest opportunity that we're going to see in our lifetimes. And, in our lifetimes, we're going to see this city rise like a phoenix. You watch.
No, I believe it, especially with you behind the scenes. So you were talking a little bit more about some of the others that were coming into Atlantic City. What are you seeing, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it's important for you to look at the big picture. You know, so the state of New Jersey is really pushing Atlantic City to come back. We have Stockton University. Imagine that. Stockton University is going to relocate 5,000 students to the gateway in Atlantic City. The gateway is like exit 2. Come in off the thruway. It takes you right into the gateway. So their first university building's already up. There's first dormitories up. Of course, we didn't have the occupancy we wanted with COVID, but we all know that that's going to go back to normal shortly, we hope.
Right.
After breaking ground, and that's what I was saying about Chris Palladino from DEFCO and Joe Gingoli, they're breaking ground on phase two, building another set of dormitories that's going to come right down at Atlantic Avenue, right by the Knife and Fork. We bought a product over there. We bought a building over there, and we're going to bring in one of your Atlanta. This is a newsflash. We're going to bring in one of your favorite Philadelphia bars, the Good Dog Bar. Heather and Dave Gleason from the Good Dog Bar are coming into Atlantic City. In fact, they used to rent from me in Asbury Park, and that's how we became friendly. And then I told them, guys, I'm going down to Atlantic City. They Airbnb'd my house a couple times on Tallahassee, and they just closed last week buying a house on Bartram. So they're drinking the lemonade. So Dave and Heather, Philadelphia, successful business people with the Good Dog Bar are going to open another Good Dog Bar by Stockton University with my assistance.
We're bringing in
some new fresh Philadelphia people, and that'll extend to more people coming in. That's how it works. You know, one person brings someone in, and they bring someone in, and tell someone, and next thing you know, we start to really revitalize the area. So that's what's happening in the Gateway, Stockton University and the Good Dog Bar. Now, moving over to my area, which we coined the Orange Loop. And, I'm not going to take all the credit for it because it was really a Rutgers University study. So it's the Blaustein Planning School of Rutgers did a study on Atlantic City, and they identified the property between Resorts and the Claridge as the downtown loop. And if anyone's interested, they can Google it and find the study. That area is a pretty ambitious lift. It was a really large swath of land. So I met a couple of nice young men, Evan and Zenith, who were on Tennessee Avenue working on some product there. And I came down to take a look from Asbury Park and meet these young men. And I saw, the fire in their eyes. And I looked at that area and I said, you're on Tennessee. I'm going to buy the next block. I'm going to buy St. James to New York. And that's exactly what we did. We ended up buying 26 properties. We own everything from the Irish Pub to the Best Western. Evan and Zenith actually came in partners with me on a couple of those buildings. And I said, we're gonna start moving our restaurants and bars from Asbury Park. We're going to take some of the horsepower and success from Asbury Park, and we're going to start again in Atlantic City, but a bigger vision.
Pat, so, I've got to interject here because, I mean, you're talking about all these places. I'm thinking Monopoly. I'm thinking, are you putting houses, three or four houses on that, or hotels? And if I land on it, how much do I have to pay you when I go to those places?
Well, listen, I learned at a young age that you have to buy all the blocks before you build a hotel. And that's exactly what we're doing now. So we're quietly acquiring. I can talk about it now because we've acquired just about everything that we needed. Not only did we buy block 50, 26 properties, under contract. We're going to be closing on about 100,000 square feet across the street in about 2 weeks with an 18,000 square foot building. Jeez. And, we have an incredible vision for the Orange Loop for an entertainment, outdoor entertainment playground. So it's going to, right now, Bouret, our New Orleans-inspired restaurant with our smoker outside, has hired many local Atlantic City residents. We've created good, stable jobs as bartenders, waiters, cooks, managers in our restaurant product, Bouret, on New York Avenue. We expanded our footprint to the boardwalk right in front next to Ripley's, believe it or not, next to James Taffy, La Teria, one of our Mexican restaurant products. And we brought in Chachi, one of the Mr. Taco, they call him. Okay, we brought in Chachi, and we gave a local business owner the opportunity to have a kitchen concession on the boardwalk that it would be out of his reach. He'd never be able to afford to do it. And I said, look, Chachi, come in. This is your kitchen. Do what you do, and I'll do what I do, and we're going to work together. And Chachi's very happy there. We've created a lot of opportunity there for his family. We created a lot of opportunity for other families to get good, stable jobs. And I'm going to tell you, we had an hour wait last summer for tables because all our tables were outdoors.
Really?
So imagine that.
Wow.
We had so we had so much land. We bought so much land that we're able to spread out picnic tables across that property, and you know, actually developed like a wait list for tables because we had outdoor dining. We're one of the few people that could offer outdoor dining. Mm-hmm. So now this summer you're going to see something completely different because we took the opportunity during COVID to expand our operation. We delivered shipping containers, shipping container bar, shipping container concession, restrooms, a bridge, like a one flies across the sky to create a balcony, and then we put a stage in, an outdoor stage. And we had our first show about a week ago, and Kyle from the Stone Pony, who's good friends with us, helped us out. We brought in the East Street Shuffle. We brought some Bruce Springsteen music down, and we were able to drag a lot of people from Monmouth County down to see Bruce Springsteen music. Everybody had a great time.
I was there. It was wonderful. Really. I mean, just so lively, and it just one of the most happening places right now.
Yeah. I mean, we stayed within the guidelines. We did have 550 people throughout the day, but we never exceeded our, it was never crowded or exceeded our capacity. But we certainly see that, you know, once the vaccine has been implemented and we're open again, easily 1,000 people there. And we're going to do everything from country western to reggae, all different genres of music, to host all different segments of the population. And that's what it's all about, being inclusive, not exclusive.
Right.
And everyone feels comfortable. That's you know, I don't care if you're wealthy or poor, you can come to Bure and you're going to feel comfortable and enjoy a very accessible price point menu. And that's the other thing that we offer, is a very accessible price point.
Well, you're,
so we're going to continue.
Yeah, you're killing it during COVID. I can only imagine what will happen once we emerge out of the pandemic. It's just you're incorporating all facets and just being so inclusive and bringing everybody in. I mean, you're doing this all during a pandemic, no less.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can hide in the corner, or you can write, or you can move forward. You know, so we took the opportunity to move forward, and you know, what we were doing was safe because the containers were being fabricated in Michigan, actually, Box Pop. They did the container park in Philadelphia for the Post Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They did the fabrication for us, and then we got local operators from Atlantic City to work the crane, and local welders. Dylan Swenson was my guy. He's been doing a great job for us with our welding. We got great masons, Mike and Austin, guys from Atlantic City. So we're creating a lot of jobs. And we're spending money renovating buildings. So, you know, we're spending a meaningful amount of money doing renovations, which create jobs. And mm-hmm. when we're completed, we have beautiful new apartments. And, you know, these apartments are something that anyone would want to live in, with washer, dryer units, central air conditioning, brick walls, granite countertops. And, you know, and everything that people told me about Atlantic City was just a myth. They say, oh, nobody leaves the boardwalk. Well, why would they leave the boardwalk if they don't have something to leave? Oh, you can't rent apartments in Atlantic City. You're only going to get Section 8. That's not true. There's a huge amount of workforce housing needed to be built in Atlantic City. Imagine you got 30,000 casino employees. Do you think they want to live off island, or do you think they have to live off island because there's no other options?
Mm.
So when you start creating affordable, hip, cool apartments that people want to live in, and hip, cool bars and restaurants and music venues, now we're going to build a downtown. We're going to make the Orange Loop the downtown. That's what Cookman Avenue is to Asbury Park. The Orange Loop is going to be to Atlantic City. Walk around. Yeah, I want you to be able to go to six different stages and see what John Longacre has at the Anchor Rock Club, and stop in to see Kathy at the Irish Pub, and then stop in the Bure and get some of our smoked ribs, pulled pork, jambalaya, shrimp and grits. That's a little promo.
Noted. Go, I'll be there.
Then go out to the Container Court and see a band. And then, you know, down the street, we're building the Cardinal Bistro and a little boutique hotel and the garage bar. And then across the street, we got a big vision. It's going to be the Stone Pony Summer Stage and that 100,000 square foot parking lot. We're going to put up a Stone Pony Summer Stage. We're going to bring in national acts. We're working with Bernie Dillon from the Hard Rock.
Sure.
And Matt Dougherty from the CRDA is helping us out. And we're gonna create a huge outdoor music venue to host 6,000-7,000 people at a clip. And this is all going to happen because COVID's going to be, it's going to be in the rearview mirror. Everybody's going to be pent up. Everybody's going to want to go out and be outdoors and see music and have fun and, you know, get affordable meals. And you know, what the things that, you know, I start to list all the things that Atlantic City has to offer, from the abundance of parking to the abundance of hotel rooms to the abundant boardwalk.
Yeah.
I mean, what a world-class boardwalk.
Yes.
The free beach. And it's the only place in the state of New Jersey where the bars never close.
This is true.
Yeah, I've got 3 liquor licenses in Asbury Park, and I just bought my 3rd one in Atlantic City. So I think I'm done. 3 well, Asbury, 3.
Well, I think we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. Also, there's other things I wanted to discuss about Atlantic City. Maybe you can help me with some of the questions. So we will be back with, of course, real estate developer Pat Fasano right after this.
Here's an important message for everyone who drives a motor vehicle. Every day, an average of 2 emergency responders are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can no longer perform their life-saving jobs. In 2019, 44 emergency responders were struck and killed while working to help others on the road. Sadly, it looks like that number will be even higher in 2020. Firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck operators, and every responder needs your help, and they need it now. Do your part to keep everyone safe on the road. When you see flashing lights of any color on the road ahead of you, slow down, move over, and give them room to work. It's the law in Pennsylvania. Police are cracking down, and penalties for violators are on the rise. This message is brought to you by PennTime and the Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania Traffic Incident Management at penntime.com.
And we are back to the Weekly Rush with Pete and Sharon on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia. We got one hell of a guest today, and that is, of course, real estate developer Pat Fasano. And he has done an amazing job, not just with Asbury Park, but now he set his sights on Atlantic City. He's got, and if you've missed some of what we've talked about, it's all these new restaurants and entertainment venues, and of course, the Orange Loop, which is going to be a big thing. And just so much going on in Atlantic City that it's just revitalized and stuff along those lines. I do have a tough question for you, Pat, and I hope you can answer this question. Now, Atlantic City is doing really well, but they lost the baseball team and they lost the airport. Now, I'm a pilot, okay? So I used to fly into Atlantic City, and I know that's gone, and I know that the baseball team, which was there for the longest time, unfortunately, it still stands. Do you know if they're going to do anything with that? I'm just curious.
I mean, there's lots of proposals for Bader Field, and I don't think the right one has stuck yet. There's a number of people who have their sights on Bader Field. I mean, for me, it's secondary only because I'm thinking that, look, we got to fix our beachfront before I worry about. Bader Field is a great opportunity for a really big idea, and the right really big idea has to come along, and then it's going to happen.
Well,
it'll fill in.
Well, not a problem. I'm just saying, basically, I mean, you're doing such a fantastic job, and with all your facilities and everything that you're doing there, I just wanted to bring up that too as well. But getting back to what you're doing, so you know, you said you have 24 properties, or is that what you said that you have?
We have a lot more than 24 properties. So our first 3 years ago, our first assemblage was 26 properties,
okay.
And that's everything from the Irish pub to the Best Western. We've just completed a second assemblage across the street, which is a much larger footprint, and it's the Park Place parking. So now we're buying this. That was on the Monopoly board too, right?
Wasn't it Park Place parking?
Yes, it was. It was very expensive.
Yeah. So Park Place parking, we're buying now. It's a 100,000 square foot parking lot that extends from the Atlantic Palace all the way almost to the 7-Eleven. There's a commercial building there that used to be Avis Rent-A-Car that we're buying as well. So it's a big footprint, and we have a big idea for it, and we can't wait to get started. And I say we this time because this time I had a little street cred, so a few of my friends called me up and said, "Hey, can we put some money in?" So I'm like, "Yeah, sure. I'm not printing the stuff. That's up to the feds to print it. I'm just trying to get what I can and put it to work." So, you know, we're able to now. 3 years ago, everybody thought I was crazy. Now people don't think I'm crazy, and they say, "Hey, can we invest in Atlantic City with you?"
So that's how you know you've arrived, right?
Yeah, which is helpful. And you know, we're looking at so many projects right now, and I can't tell you now. I mean, I really don't want to talk out of school, but I'll tell you this: I've met two national builders, publicly traded companies that had many meetings with me, and they're very interested in building large-scale housing projects in Atlantic City. So we are on the radar. This is you have a vast amount of oceanfront property undeveloped in Atlantic City, and it's now on the radar. So you're going to be surprised in 3 years the amount of construction that you see going on. And already, I mean, it started with Stockton University, like I said, building the classrooms and the dormitories in the gateway. And then with Jack Morris, Joe Gingoli joining forces with the Seminoles, doing the Hard Rock, which was an incredible product for us. And now Bart Blatstein putting the water park in, the Showboat, which is incredible.
That's so cool.
To have a water park and, yeah, you know, right next to the Orange Loop. It just works together. There's another little group that's putting like a miniature golf, but all these small things add up into one big movement. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, that a lot of the stuff that you don't see today is on paper, and there's plans, and the property's already been acquired. It's not like people are thinking about doing it. This land has been assembled and people are moving. And when it happens, it's going to be like a coil spring ready to pounce. It's like I said, Atlantic City is the sleeping giant.
I agree, especially with COVID. Yeah. You know, nowadays, I think that the way that the world will do business will be much different. We've emerged with remote working, remote learning, and people are finding that they don't have to live in the big cities anymore. They can take property anywhere that they want at this point, because you can basically work from anywhere. So why would you not want to work at a place like Atlantic City with the beautiful ocean right there and all these amenities going up, these great restaurants, access to concerts, entertainment, and all outdoor venues? It's healthy. It's fun. I mean, it's exciting.
It's an accessible price point as well. I mean, that's really key. I looked at like a three-bedroom, three-bath condo oceanfront that was in the fours. I mean, it's unbelievable. How do you, it's like a $50, you know, the price per square foot is like, you know, so much lower than anywhere else. So you really have an accessible price point to buy a home, to buy a condo, to buy a piece of land.
It's an opportunity.
It's such an opportunity. You know, it's literally one-tenth of the price of Asbury Park right now.
Wow.
You know, 10 cents on the dollar.
Oh.
And it's the same ocean, and, you know, the boardwalk, and there's like more restaurants. So I don't get it, you know? So yeah, there's some poor people down there, then we know that. But I mean, once we start building and filling in, things are going to get better. You know, it's not a huge population problem. And the CRDA, you know, is aware of like the sensitive issues of what's happening in the tourism district. And they've been buying boarding houses. In fact, I know they already purchased the Foxwood Manor by the Tropicana was a big one they shut down.
Yeah.
And they just bought two on Tennessee Avenue and they shut them down. So the Methadone Clinic on Atlantic Avenue, they shut that down. So they're saying that, yeah, poor people need a place to live, but it's not in the tourism district.
Right.
Okay. So there's plenty of places that we can have these social services, but the social services should not be like on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. It should be, you know, maybe a couple of blocks back. Maybe that's a better idea.
Right, and you're creating jobs too. I mean, you're bringing money, you're bringing revenue streams into Atlantic City, you're creating jobs, you're creating a sense of community. There's so many benefits that permeate through all of the work that you're doing, and I think it just helps overall Atlantic City. It's all beneficial.
I mean, I had the same challenge in Ocean Grove in the early 90s when I started buying those hotels under Shore Easy with Christy Whitman. They were shutting down. The hotels became like homes for the deinstitutionalized coming out of the mental institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you would see in Ocean Grove. When I went to Ocean Grove in 1992, well before Jim Cramer bought his home there, it was scary. You know, they said, it's either old people or really crazy people. That's all there is in Ocean Grove. And, you know, I bought my first home in Ocean Grove that my kids, you know, went to Thornley Chapel and grew up in. I paid $50,000 for that Victorian house, you know, two blocks the beach.
Because what do you think it's worth now?
Oh, well, forget it. I mean, you know, but, I mean, I was buying hotels for $70,000, $80,000, these huge hotels. And nobody wanted it because
it's crazy.
That's all I saw on the street was these, you know, either they were challenging, the people were challenged, they were on medication, or they're old people and there's no commerce. And once we started building and the town repopulated, then, you know, you didn't see them anymore. I mean, some of them were still there, some of them were gone, but, you know, you don't really see them because now there's just regular people walking everywhere. So it's not the only thing you see,
right.
which was the problem in Atlantic City. Like, we have to repopulate the city. It's been depopulated by demolishing all the buildings to make way for more and more casinos, because here's, you know, we got to just, let's knock everything down. They're going to give us $1,000 a square foot for our land. Yeah, well, I'm buying that land now for $20 a foot, $30 a foot.
Right, right.
Sometimes less.
Right.
Sometimes less, you know? So now we have to repopulate the city. So it's on the builders' radar. It's on the university's radar, Stockton University. You know, it's on developers' radar. Carl Icahn just knocked down the Trump Plaza. Bart Blatstein, you know, is building the water park. You know, smaller developers like myself and my team are working in the Orange Loop with a few guys that are you know, building there, the Tennessee Beer Hall, Colazzo, and you know, Heyday Coffee, Evan and Zenith, and we have a marijuana dispensary, bee dispensary that we brought in. So it's all the pieces are starting to fill in at this time.
Listen, Pat, that's really interesting stuff. I do have one question. You've been doing so much, and you've done an incredible job in Asbury Park and, of course, Atlantic City. What made you get into real estate and being a developer? I mean, that's something that, you know, people, they aspire to, but then none of us ever reached that level. How did you do that?
Well, it's truly the American dream. I mean, I did not come from any money or anything like that. My dad worked in like a snuff factory, and when that shut down, he got a job as a janitor. So we were kind of like a pretty poor family growing up, and I worked in restaurants from the time I was 13 years old to earn some money. So I worked in restaurants from the time I was 13 until I was 25, and the owner of one of the restaurants when I was about 18 years old, you know, said, hey, you know, if you're not going to go to college, you should get your real estate license and go into real estate.
And you did at a young age, right? How young were you when you started?
Yeah, so I was 18, and I got my real. I listened to the owner of the Wooden Nickel Restaurant in North Brunswick, and back then. The Wooden Nickel in North Brunswick in those days, you know, was the place where all the politicians from New Brunswick hung out. And that's where I met, you know, the Johnson & Johnson was going to move their world corporate headquarters to New Brunswick. And you should buy property in New Brunswick. And that's what I did. I started buying houses for, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000.
Oh,
in New Brunswick while I was waiting tables at the Wooden Nickel.
What a career start.
Next thing you knew, you know, I had like 10 houses and rents were coming in, and like, you know, I was I was like, you know, I got my broker's license, and I was off to the races. You know, so I really turned, I really parlayed my busboy tips into a pretty comfortable. I mean, I own a pretty nice house in Costa Rica,
which I'm inviting myself to next year, by the way. You know?
Yeah. There's no mortgages on any of that property in Atlantic City. It's all cash, and it's all cash that I was able to, you know, make through capital gains. And the government is kind enough to let me move all my capital gains to Atlantic City without paying any taxes. So that's a big, big, big plus. So when you invest in the Opportunity Zone, you can move your capital gains long-term, short-term. Doesn't matter if it comes from selling stocks or selling real estate, any gains you can move tax-free into the Opportunity Zone. So the government said to me and everyone who was listening, hey, if you put your money into these troubled areas, don't pay any tax on that money until 2026. Mm. So I'm like, okay, I got to from 2018 to 2026 to work this money and not, you know, and it's a substantial amount. Sell one of my apartment buildings and I'm making, you know, $2 million in capital gains, I'd have to send almost half of that to the state and the Fed. They're saying, no, keep the money, just move it into Atlantic City. So I'm like, I can keep it. I don't have to pay tax. Are you sure? I'm not going to go to jail.
So I'm there.
So Pat, and in Monopoly, you're the guy with the little eyeglass thing, you know, with the top hat on. Is that you? Is this the recreation of that individual through yourself? I don't know. It sounds like it.
Yeah, I want to tell you, I love Monopoly, I love Atlantic City, and I love not having to pay taxes. legally,
yes. We thought we'd add that. Legally.
So yeah. Now we got about 3 minutes left. I wanted to make sure that we got your websites and that we got all the things that you're doing, so that basically, and again, we could talk a little bit after, but I wanted to make sure that we got all that in. If people want to know more about you, about what you're doing in Atlantic City, what you have done in Asbury Park, we really want to be able to make sure that people know all the stuff that you're doing on behalf of these great little cities.
Yeah, well, I don't hand out business cards or keep a website going. Each of the individual restaurants have their, like the Complex in Asbury Park, and Bure in Atlantic City. Everyone can Google and find what's happening at those establishments. But as far as a real estate developer, I kind of keep my cards, you know, close to my chest, because, you know, when you're doing the business that I'm in, once people kind of get wind of what's happening, the prices really go up. So we're always like we always go into an area very quietly and we assemble the property. So now that we have our assemblage, we certainly want to tell people that, hey, come on in and buy around us. Just buy around us and you're going to be okay. So just come down to Atlantic City, come to the Orange Loop, check, if you stop into Bure, the Container Court, La Teria, say, hey, where's Pat? I want to meet Pat.
we can find you right in there.
I'll come out and I'll walk you around the neighborhood. I'll tell you how much you could buy every property for. Tell you, hey, come on in, be my neighbor.
Well, it's easy to spot him. He'll have the Monica with the top hat next to Mr. Peanut, right?
Absolutely. But I mean, I'm energized from it, you know, and, I thought, my kids said, Dad, aren't you going to retire? I'm like, this is much more fun.
You're having too much fun to retire. You can't retire. You're having too much fun. You're opening up one of the top entertainment venues. You can't retire.
Yeah. So I do keep a home in Costa Rica, and I was there for 2 months, and next year I'll probably be there for 3 months. But that's why I love having businesses on the Jersey Shore, because I love New Jersey in the spring and the summer and even the fall. But when it gets that really cold, my bones are starting to get old.
No one can fault you for going to your beautiful place in Costa Rica. Yeah, I saw the pictures. It's gorgeous.
I recharge my batteries in nature for a little while and I get all these ideas. And don't get me wrong. I'm on my phone works there. My internet works there. I'm still working.
But work from anywhere.
Like from afar, And then I can come back energized and like, let's do it, guys. Let's build this and build like crazy stuff out of reclaimed materials, which is one of our favorite things. Every time we demolish a building, we save as much lumber and materials as we can. I've got some killer lumber coming out of a couple places, and we use that to build our tables. If you go into Capitol Line or Bond Street Bar, the complex, all of that's done with reclaimed materials, concrete bridge forms, boards from the boardwalk in the Asbury Park, just artifacts that I save from the dumpsters and I repurpose. And it's everywhere. The history from Asbury Lanes, so I got a pin setter as a chandelier as you go down the stairs of the complex. And I've got so much cool stuff for Atlantic City. We bought the warehouse from James Taffy, and I've got the copper kettles and all the oak original store fixtures that are going to be repurposed in our next restaurant product. It's going to be incredible.
Your restaurants are incredible. I've been in there, and they just have the ones in Asbury Park that I've been to are just so rich in history, and they're just so unique and so much fun. Just really great decor.
Yeah, we had a great time building them. My daughter went to art school and lived in Brooklyn, so I was I was with her and hanging out at Roberta's and all the the wing places, all the new hip places. So we get ideas, and
it shows.
Now she's
really
in
cool stuff.
Seattle. So I like to visit her and just walk around with my camera, take pictures, get ideas that we can incorporate into our next product. So it's always fun, exciting. That's really my part of it, is acquiring the property and building it, and then I turn it over to our team of managers, because at that point it's out of my wheelhouse.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It really is. You got to see the place.
Listen, thank you so much, Pat, for being on. We've been on with real estate developer Pat Fasano. Fantastic job. Thank you for being on the Weekly Rush. We really do appreciate
it. Thanks, Pat. Very exciting.
Hey. City. We hope to see everyone down there, and just ask for me.
Not a problem. And we will be back with the Weekly Rush and the wrap-up right after this.
Hi, I'm Ice-T. As a veteran, I know that for many former servicemen and women, the battle doesn't always end when they come home. Every day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and sadly, 20 take their own lives. When nothing else helps, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, rescues animals in need of forever homes and trains them to become free, life-saving service dogs for our nation's veterans. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program. Let's give our veterans a fighting chance.
And welcome back to the Weekly Rush with Pete and Sharon. And we've had real estate developer Pat Fasano on. I tell you, Sharon,
such
he's
a great
an
guy.
Amazing guy. I'm
yeah,
telling
he
you,
is.
He not only did Asbury Park and created something really pretty much out of nothing that was left there at the point, but on top of that, he also went into Atlantic City and has done amazing things there, opened up the Orange Loop, or in process of doing that. Major investor. I can't tell how many properties he has, but he has done such a fantastic job, and he's just an amazing guest. We're so glad to have him on.
It's so cool when you see that he takes his vision and actually executes. So many talk a big game, but he's out there actually doing it. And it's not easy. I mean, to take that type of risk and for him to succeed like that. He makes it look easy. He makes it look fun, but he's very hardworking. And he's a really nice guy. He's a friend. He's a good person. And it's good to see great people succeed.
Sharon, who isn't a friend of you? I mean, seriously. I mean, you want somebody, just talk to Sharon. She knows somebody who knows somebody. It's kind of like that, Kevin Bacon, Six Degrees of Separation. For some reason, I think it's like two with you, or two or three at that point. But, Atlantic City, I've always had a really good feel for Atlantic City. I love being there. And I was there before they had the casinos, and the horse would jump from the big, gigantic pier.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
It was horrible.
What happened?
The poor horses would be at the edge. And they'd be, and this was like a regular swimming pool.
Yeah.
It was about 15 feet high. but it would be about 30 feet above, and this horse would literally lean over with the woman on it, and wouldn't just jump in. It would like lean over to get close to the pool, and you know, just about at the edge, and then at that point it had to fall into the pool.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I mean, I think about it, it's like it was interesting to watch, but I'm so glad that they don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think they would allow that.
And they had
anymore.
A submarine there.
Oh.
And the submarine would go down like about 5 feet under the water, but the water was so dirty you couldn't see anything but brown on the outside. I mean, Atlantis come a long way since then.
Yeah,
now
I think
you got
so.
The casinos. You've got, of course, Pat, who's doing an amazing job of bringing it back. The casinos have been great as well. But you know, a guy like that is a visionary. I mean, how many people do you know can? We all dream dreams. We all try to do stuff, but how many people actually go out and do it?
Yeah, we need people like Pat because we need advocates out there. I mean, the Jersey Shore is gorgeous. I mean, I'm a little bit biased because I grew up in New Jersey, and I actually lived in Vineland for a while in
sure.
South Jersey. So, you know, the rebuilding of South Jersey is very important to me, and I think it can really revitalize the entire community. I mean, I'm very excited by his vision.
Well, he's done an amazing job in Asbury
really
Park
has.
As it is, and I'll tell you,
oh, yeah.
If it's anything like what he did there, Atlantic City is going to come back, and it's going to come back with a real punch because he just knows what he's doing. He's got so much going on.
And speaking of likable, he really is. Like, what you see is what you get. He's the perfect guy for the job because something like this would stress out most people, but not him. He's just so even-keeled. He really takes, like, a political type of personality. He gets along with everybody, and he's just going to really knock it out of the park. I really have faith in this guy. He's
you hear that?
Exciting.
For our Philadelphia office, you hear that, the Philadelphia audience? You got to go to Atlantic City. Come back to Atlantic City. And, of course, Pat Fasano will welcome you with open arms with a little Monica.
We should do a show from there.
We should.
Why don't we? We should enjoy it. We should all, you know, and take Dan Fritz with us. We'll all go out there. We'll have some drinks. We'll hang out.
That would be fun.
The ocean. That would be a fun show.
But that would be for another show.
Yeah.
So, well, that about wraps it up for the Weekly Rush. On behalf of myself, Sharon Mann, and Dan Fritz, thank you for tuning in. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.